live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live on this April 15th, 2019. And as you can imagine, I'm feeling pretty good today. Our longtime listeners know that I am a diehard Eldrick Tiger Woods fan. I mean, I've been watching this guy dating back to when I was in middle school. He is the reason why I, and like many people out there, not just me, he's the reason why I picked up some golf clubs, and he's the reason why I fell in love with the game of golf. And it's been a struggle. It's been a long, long struggle as we have watched Tiger Woods fall from the mountaintop of the golf world, of the sporting world, due to scandal and infidelity. Then not too long ago, he had the situation where he was pulled over by the cops, fell asleep in his car, over-medicating on drugs due to the fact that he's had multiple surgeries, a beaten-up body, forcing many to look at the career of Tiger Woods and say, there's no way that he can get back to winning majors, let alone even just being competitive in the sport itself. And that is why what we saw on Sunday, that's what made it so special. Many people thought that Tiger Woods should retire. And to win a green jacket, to win the Super Bowl of golf in the Masters, coming back from all of what I just stated, that's what makes it the greatest comeback in sports history. You know, when Tiger Woods is in contention on a Sunday, wearing that red polo, especially in a major, it's like the world stops. And the world stopped. I don't care if you're a fan of the sport of golf or not. That's how powerful the Tiger effect is. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this since like the days of Michael Jordan, where the sporting world stops no matter if you're into golf or not, if you think it's the most boring sport in the world or not, you will watch. And you watched what happened yesterday in Augusta. I'll tell you why we are so fascinated with the career and this comeback from Tiger, and I'll try to explain how in the world Tiger has been able to put together this comeback. Now culminating with, and again, this will probably continue. You know, I don't want to say, oh, well, that's it. Yeah, he's back, you know, and on the mountaintop. And all right, we don't know where he goes from here. I think Tiger Woods now, he has set the tone. You know, he's got 15 majors now. He's, what, three off the pace from Jack Nicklaus. You know, we question whether or not he would even, you know, get close to that record. Well, he's very close, and he's been close for a long, long time. But we question whether or not he would get number 15. And now he needs three more to tie the man, four more to eclipse the man, the myth, the legend in Jack Nicklaus. All right, so we'll talk a lot of Tiger Woods today. This is one of those shows. This is one of those sports moments that you'll never forget where you were when, right? And it's one of those sports topics that
could really take up the whole hour. I don't plan on doing that, but that's really up to you because, again, we'll take your calls and comments throughout this hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I will also be diving into a bit of the spring game as the Michigan State football spring game took place on Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. You know, it's so hard to draw hard conclusions and to draw concrete takeaways and to give these big, bold predictions on next season based on what you see in spring game action. So I won't do that. I'll just tell you what I saw from the spring game, what I liked, what I didn't like from MSU football, and we'll go from there. So I'll touch on that. And you know what? Why not? I'll get to this right now. Let's just air this out right now. Before I even get to the current sports quick hit headliners and invite you all to be a part of the show, we got Connor Mathis behind the glass, engineer of the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday edition of, well, occasionally Friday edition of Current Sports. And Connor, I want to ask this to you because I know for sure that I am definitely in the minority when I say this. And I never understand the uproar over this, but, you know, moments before the spring game, Michigan State football on its respective social media pages released the new alternate jerseys that Michigan State is set to wear come the 2019-2020 year. And it's like Armageddon happened. I mean, people immediately ran to Twitter, ran to Instagram. I'm sure, you know, start texting their friends and just totally admonishing the new jerseys. And now, if you have not seen the jerseys and if you've been living under a rock, I'll try to do my best in describing them for you. Michigan State, and they've used this, and it's kind of like, for those who are watching the Facebook live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, it's kind of like the inside of my hoodie right here. It's like it's a neon green. It's a neon green Spartan logo that is on the helmet. And, you know, if you look further into the jersey, and I'm trying to bring up a picture here. I'm trying to scramble and bring up a picture here because, you know, it just amazes me how many people have really jumped off the bridge when it comes to the unveiling of these jerseys. And just can't believe it. And, oh, my gosh, how could you do this? And
I don't get it. Alternate jersey.
Overreaction.
Yeah, it is. Alternate jerseys are supposed to be are not supposed to be normal looking.
Exactly.
And then, you know what really, really bothered me is like everyone flipping out over this and saying, oh, these look terrible. They look terrible. And then Oregon drops an all black alternate. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, this is the standard. I'm like, oh, cool. All black. That's neat. Haven't seen that anywhere in the sports world before. I suppose next you'll tell me that, oh, someone dropped an all-white alternate. Wow, that's groundbreaking there, Al. Oh, my God.
I want to know when everybody became like Tommy Hilfiger, right? When did everybody become, I don't know, Kanye West when it comes to designing
products? It's supposed
to be
an alternate jersey. It's not supposed to look normal.
Yeah.
It'd be boring if it did.
Because I got into this debate. I was talking with Kyle Turk, and Kyle Turk, he shot our coverage from the spring game this Saturday. And when it was released, I'm having this conversation with him, and he's going off on how ugly they look. And I'm sitting there saying, well, I kind of dug them.
They look fine.
I know I'm in the minority. And I thought you were going to be the opposite of me.
No, they look fine.
I looked at it and I said, okay, you got it's a neon green Spartan logo on the helmet, the traditional green background with the neon green. You've got like a, I don't even know if you could call it white. It's like a silver line going through the middle of the helmet. The jersey is the back, I should say, the base color is the normal Spartan green. You have white numbers. And you have the neon green Spartan logo on the shoulder pads, the neon green Nike logo, the neon green Big Ten logo. And then this is what everybody's tripping about. This is the big thing. The words State across the front of the chest. Now, we could go back and forth about that because Michigan State, you know, that's kind of like when we listen to sports analysts say, well, State played good today. it's like one of those things that, you know, if you're a Michigan State fan, it irks you. You know, we're Michigan State. We are the Spartans. We're not just State. What's up with that, right? So maybe they could have said Spartans across the chest. You know, maybe. And if I'm really being nitpicky here, okay, I see where you're coming from to a degree there. But I'm not really tripping about that.
It's State, not the end all be all.
Exactly.
That's the only thing that I'm like, all right, the State thing I could see people are like, oh, it's too busy. I'm like, all right, I'll listen to that argument. But right. To say it's like the worst uniform you've ever seen. If Oregon put out this jersey last year, they wouldn't have a problem with it. Oregon and all these other teams put out these stupider jerseys and no one has a problem with it. But we deviate from the usual same old green and white. For I don't even know how many years it's been green and white. There's no real out there alternate. So I mean, live a little.
I'm not. Yeah,
it's
exactly,
one alternate.
Man. Like just woosah. You know, take a deep breath, folks. This isn't the end of the world. And then you have the neon green pants, which I kind of like. So I am in the minority when it comes to. And this is the thing about art, because when you discuss uniforms and when you discuss style, style is art. It's a form of art. And everybody is going to interpret art differently. So my interpretation of this piece of art from the world of Nike is that, okay, this is different, kind of cool. You know, I think that the neon could pop. If they play at night with them, that could really pop under the lights,
isn't,
I think.
Isn't the rumor is they're gonna break out those uniforms for the night game against Arizona State?
I don't know. Is that what the rumor is?
I'm not sure. That's the rumor I've heard, which makes sense.
It makes sense. I mean, during the day, they don't really stand out during the day. I think they'll be sexier under the lights. Kind of like, I tell you what, I'm probably in the minority in saying this as well. Remember the chrome helmet?
Oh, yeah.
The chrome green helmet. I loved it.
People
hated those. I loved it. And I heard this point made as well over the weekend. When you put those chrome helmets under the lights, they really pop.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something about being under the lights. You know, during the day, it's okay, those are cool. But at night, they look really cool when the light is deflecting off of chrome. So, I don't know. I'm in the minority in saying it. I want to hear from the Spartan fans out there. Why are you tripping about the Michigan State football uniform?
And it's not like it's a complete uniform change. If this was a complete uniform change, they're like, all right, forget the old, this is what we're doing. Yeah, I'd have a problem with it. But, like, it's an alternate. They're going to wear it once or twice in a year, maybe. Yeah. And then next year you're going to get a different alternate.
Right. I'm with you, Connor.
It's not a big deal.
When I walked in today, when I was prepping this, and I thought to myself on the drive here, I got to start the show with this. I'm like, I know Connor is going to take the other side here. I am so shocked that you're with me here, because 99.9999% of MSU fans out there, I feel like, are not happy about these unis. Well, Devin Bush, did you see Devin Bush's tweet?
Yeah.
Devin Bush. See, this is the thing. And this would arc you even more, because if you don't like him, it's kind of like, even if you don't like him, you kind of have to die with the lie. Because if Michigan fans see that you don't like these unis, they're going to take it to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. Just say you like the jersey so that you don't have this controversy because Devin Bush, his tweet, for listeners that don't know, Devin Bush, his tweet, and if I can bring it up here on his Twitter account, he just saw the outrage of the jersey online. And what he did was he retweeted the Michigan State football photo of the jersey saying Spartans reveal new alternate uniforms for 2019. And he said, definitely stomping on that with the nose blowing emoji. And we all know what Devin Bush did last year. He's the guy that took the cleats. He refused to get off the field when Michigan State was doing its ceremonial walk from end zone to end zone, locked in arm. And he didn't move and got irritated and took his cleat and scuffed up and stomped on the Spartan logo in the middle of Spartan Stadium. So, yeah, he took a jab after. I'm guessing he saw every Spartan fan in America looking at these jerseys and saying, oh my gosh, those are incredibly ugly. Let me poke some more fun at them. And he put out this tweet. So, I don't know.
I mean, the other thing people don't think about this too is once you have an alternate uniform, you can change up how you use it. It's not like they're gonna use that exclusively. Like, you don't think they're gonna take like maybe the helmet from it and put it on the normal uniform? Like, it's not that big of a deal. It really is not.
People are really tripping about it, though. Why
people are so upset. They're so hurt about this. Like,
yeah.
And watch next year you're gonna get a different alternate. They're gonna dial it back and be like, well, where's the fun in this? Like,
right.
I don't get it.
Well, a few comments here before we get to our headliners, Connor. Luke says, you can't judge jerseys based off pictures on your phone. Jerseys are best judged once they're on the field and under the lights. Luke, you got a great point, because this is another point I had. You know, you were seeing them in pictures and on mannequins. They also had them on, had the jersey on a mannequin on the sideline. You had, I believe it was Joe Bocci kind of breaking it down during the spring game broadcast. And he's like, yeah, I like, got the state across the front. That's different. I like them. And I think he may have not. I don't think he was really digging the jersey, but he had to because he's like live on TV. I don't know. But once they're on a body and you see them on the football field, it looks different. I understand what Luke's saying. I want to see them once they're on an actual player running out in movement on a gridiron. Mike says, I'm more concerned about who's inside the jerseys. Great point, Mike. I think this it's so shocking to me that jersey reveals get this much attention. Ben says, I don't like the new football uniforms at all. They are hideous. If they had the Michigan State words in the print like the normal uniforms have, they would be sweet. But the word state in big block letters with huge numbers is not appealing to me. So, yeah. That's just some of the reaction that I'm getting on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in just like Ben, Mike, Luke have done at facebook.com/WKAR News. Our live stream is up and running there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? Here are your quick hit headliners. Well, as you know by now, Eldrick Tiger Woods collected his 15th major win and his fifth green jacket, winning the 2019 Masters Tournament yesterday afternoon. The 43-year-old had not won a major championship since 2008 when he triumphed at the U.S. Open. Much more on Tiger Woods in just a moment. And as I've been touching on the spring game, utilizing a modified scoring system, the green team defense defeated the white team offense 42-26 on Saturday afternoon at the green and white spring game. Senior wide receiver Daryl Stewart, he led the offense with 5 catches for 82 yards, including touchdown catches of 10 yards from Brian Lewerke and 31 yards from Rocky Lombardi. Sophomore Jalen Naylor added 4 receptions for 42 yards. Quarterback Brian Lewerke, I must say, looked pretty solid. 14 of 20, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, did throw 1 interception that I didn't think was his fault. While Rocky Lombardi was 9 of 22, 119 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. More on the spring game later on this hour as well. And again, getting your thoughts on the jerseys. Do you like the 2019 alternate jerseys? I don't have a problem with them, but most of Spartan Nation does. 517-355-WKAR. Okay, the Michigan spring game. Call it a game, practice, controlled scrimmage, or something else, but the Michigan football team did play Saturday evening, playing in front of a crowd that looked between 15 and 20,000 on a sunny spring day. The Wolverines went through drills, situation work, and then did some light scrimmaging. Someone, apparently a Michigan fan, decided it was a good idea to pay for an airplane to fly a banner over Michigan Stadium as the Wolverines played. It called out Michigan's offensive play calling with a message that read, "Hey, Jim, this is God. It's okay to pass on first down. Let's try it." Did you hear about that story, Connor? That is pretty funny. And I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, Michigan spring game, they didn't allow cameras in. They didn't, like, it was not televised.
It was a scrimmage. It was like a scrimmage type thing. And a lot of people, I saw a lot of articles of people complaining about it wasn't a game. They basically just sat and watched a practice.
Yeah, they sat and watched. Yeah, I mean, I think Jim is becoming so, and he's always been this way to a degree, right? He's so anal. He doesn't want anything getting out. No play is getting out that, you know, he's not going to hold a spring game where, you know, you may see some plays here and there. And even Coach D'Antonio. Coach D didn't run a lot of schemes. He's not going to do that because it's a spring game. You're not trying to give the opposition some kind of tip on what you're going to be come next season. So Coach D didn't call a lot of sexy plays. I'm sure most of the plays that he called were, well, I'm not sure. I'm looking at it. It was very vanilla. Very vanilla, okay? But it was good just to see some college football in effect in some way, shape, or form. Okay, Sydney Cooks, the former McDonald's All-American from Wisconsin, announced on her Twitter account on Friday afternoon plans to leave the Michigan State women's basketball program after two seasons. Cooks wrote, quote, "After many thoughts, prayers, and of course talking to the people in my life that mean the most, I have decided that I will not be returning to Michigan State University. I appreciate everyone who helped me throughout the journey. Thank you to the coaches and the MSU staff. I will forever be grateful for this opportunity. I'm going to miss my teammates who have become like sisters to me. I also want to thank the fans and the little girls I've met always cheering me on." Now, when it comes to a reason as to why Cooks has decided to leave the program, that has not been released. But Sydney Cooks, no longer a part of the Michigan State women's basketball program. All right, Michigan State track and field took six event wins and posted several personal bests, wrapping up competition at the Louisville Invitational on Saturday at Cardinal Park. That's awesome stuff. In track, junior Carlin Ortega won the women's 1,500-meter race with a time of 4:22.95. MSU made it a sweep in the 1,500 as sophomore Morgan Beelscombe took the men's victory in a time of 3:50.44 in field. The Spartans earned their first win of the day in the women's shot put when sophomore Kaylee Johnson posted a new personal best with a farthest toss of 15.87 meters. Sophomore Jeremiah Evans also recorded a new personal record on the men's side at 18.47 meters, taking second place. The Spartans are back in action April 19th to the 20th at Virginia Challenge in Charlottesville, Virginia. All right, the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, gosh, was this embarrassing. As a Pistons fan, I just had to turn it off. I'm not ashamed to admit that I turned this thing off in the middle of the third quarter because I was so disgusted. I decided to rest up and get ready for Game of Thrones. All right, but the Milwaukee Bucks dismantled the Detroit Pistons last night, 121-86. Game one of the NBA playoffs series, opening series. According to a report from Yahoo Sports, Pistons all-star forward Blake Griffin will likely miss, get this, the entirety of the team's first-round series against the Milwaukee Bucks due to a nagging left knee injury. And I noted this yesterday. That was one of my monologues. Yes, I mean, not yesterday. Last week, about how if you don't have Blake Griffin in this first-round playoff series, I mean, it's been all for naught. I mean, that's why you got Blake Griffin, to play in the big games for the red, white, and royal blue. Just a total waste. Game two, if you care, tips off Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Despite an eighth-inning rally and an opportunity with the bases loaded in the ninth, the Detroit Tigers dropped the series finale to the Minnesota Twins, a final score of 6-4. The Tigers now fall to 8-7 on the young year. They look to rebound tomorrow against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That game begins at 6:40 p.m. And I got a chance to check this out late Saturday night. Two-time Olympic gold medalist, Flint's favorite daughter, Clarissa Shields. Just a hand clap for her. Amazing stuff. Shields remains undefeated with a unanimous decision over Christina Hammer in a middleweight championship bout, one of the most anticipated fights in the history of women's boxing. Shields, now 9-0, held three versions of the 160-pound title and snagged Hammer Slice of the division championship to unify the championships Saturday night at Boardwalk Hall. Congratulations to Shields. I mean, it's like, where do you go from there, right? I mean, Christina Hammer, that fight had been in talks for so long. It got canceled the first time it was scheduled because of an injury to Christina Hammer. And now Shields was just dominant. That's probably the best fight, round per round, that I've ever seen her put together. It was amazing. It was like there were like no weak spots in her game. And I don't know who's going to challenge her. Clarissa Shields on top of the world of women's boxing. And to do it, I mean, again, she's only 9-0 in her professional career. To do it this quickly, impressive. Yeah, you think? All right, that does it for your Quick Hits Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment below the live stream there. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break right now, Connor, since we're already up at, you know, the 1:30 mark. Let's hit our first break right now. When we come back, I am going to put in perspective just how special this weekend's accomplishment was for Tiger Woods and what it means for the world of golf. And why are we so captivated by Tiger Woods, the player? Tiger Woods, the man. I'll explain all of that and so much more. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. What a moment it was. You know, again, as I stated at the top of the hour, yesterday's final round of the 2019 Masters, that's one of those moments that you'll never forget. You'll know exactly where you were, who you were with, when you watched Tiger Woods really complete his comeback. Tiger Woods is back now. You know, no longer are we asking the question, is he back? You know, even when he got that tournament win on the tour last season, you know, to end the golf year, a lot of people were still like, well, he hasn't won a major yet. All right, that's been the big monkey on the back of Tiger Woods. When is he finally going to win another major? Well, to win another major and to have it be the biggest tournament in the sport in Augusta, Georgia. I mean, you couldn't have written that any better. And, you know, many who follow me on social media, you guys know how excited I was watching that. I posted a video of my reaction to the accomplishment. I was like, you know, taking live videos of myself watching that. I was freaking out, you know, and Sundays I'm usually at church, right? But yesterday morning, because they had to move the time up, which was also pretty different and pretty cool, if you ask me. They had to move the time up for tee times for yesterday's field because of inclement weather that was going to threaten late afternoon and into the evening. So they pushed every tee time up, which means that we got a chance to see Tiger on a Sunday tee off like around like 9 a.m., which is incredible. So with that being said, and the Lord knows my heart, I said, all right, well, you know, it's the Masters. It's Sunday, and Tiger's competing. He could probably maybe win this thing. The Lord knows my heart. So I stayed home. And I stayed in my pajamas. And I watched the final round of the Masters. You know, and that's kind of like a religious experience, right? Watching the Masters on a Sunday with Tiger Woods playing. That's a religious experience in itself, right? You know, you got Amen Corner, right? There you go. Can I get an amen? So it was so cool to watch. And I'm not going to lie. I got kind of emotional. I wasn't boo-hooing. Like, oh, my God, Tiger's done. You know, I was close to that, though. Watching it, I contained myself, and I did get the lump in the throat when I saw him put in that final putt. Celebrate. Take the head off, exposing the ball dome now, showing, you know, how you know, he's 43 years old, showing his age and showing how far he's come. My goodness. And the still rise, everything he's gone through, the infidelity scandal and the whole fallout. You know, remember that? I mean, that was like front page news everywhere. You know, the divorce from his wife and the arrest in 2017. I mean, to see Tiger go through all of that, to see a man who was, you know, once revered, fall from the mountaintop and then climb himself out of that, become a more humble person, to have more compassion. Because I think, you know, Tiger was known to be kind of a, you know, just not a nice guy on tour back in the day. And I think some of that had to do with the, you know, with why he was so good. All right. He had that cutthroat attitude. You know, don't talk to me during a round. I'm locked in. I'm trying to not just beat you. I am trying to stomp on your throat. That kind of a personality, that, you know, it's kind of like how Michael Jordan was, a Kobe Bryant was during his playing career. That kind of personality, there's a method to that madness. That's a bit of what made Tiger so good back in the day. So I question, when you see this nice guy Tiger now, going through all of the scandal that he went through, that scandal made him a different person, made him appreciate life more, made him appreciate people more, made him appreciate freedom more, okay? You know, seeing Tiger laugh and joke with guys on tour during a round, you would never see that in the early 2000s. You know, graciously signing autographs, slapping high fives to the gallery during a round, that is something Tiger Woods never did. And to see this changed man change his life around and slowly but surely, and again, all the scandal and then the 2017 arrest, and not to mention all of the health issues. That's one of the biggest things, right, when discussing whether or not Tiger Woods would ever get back to this point. He's been injured so many times. I mean, December of 2002, surgery on left knee to remove fluid, from inside and outside of his ACL. August of 07, you remember that? He ruptured the ACL in his left knee while running on a golf course after the British Open. He was able to keep playing, wins five of the last six tournaments he plays, including the PGA Championship for his 13th major. I don't know how he did that in 07. In 2008, he has arthroscopic surgery on his left knee to repair cartilage damage. In May of 2008, He was advised weeks before the U.S. Open that he has two stress fractures on his left tibia and should rest for 6 weeks, the first 3 weeks on crutches. June 24th of 08, 8 days after winning the U.S. Open, he has surgery to repair the ACL in his left knee by using a tendon from his right thigh. Huh? It sounds like I'm reading like an autopsy right now, right? December of 08, injured his Achilles tendon in his right leg as he was running while preparing to return to golf. I mean, it goes on and on. November of 09, hospitalized overnight with a sore neck and a cut lip that required 5 stitches. That's when the whole scandal broke, right? When the SUV he was driving ran over a fire hydrant and into a tree. That's when the scandal began. That's the scandal year there. In 2010, May of 2010, withdrew from the final round of the Player Championship, citing a bulging disc. April of 2011, injuries to his left Achilles tendon, hitting from an awkward stance from below Eisenhower's tree on the 17th at Augusta National. May of 2011, March of 2012, August of 2012, June of 2013. August of 2013, late August of 2013, March of 2014. I mean, April of 2014. I mean, I have the medical report. This is written by PGA.com. I was sent this medical report of Tiger Woods, the history of his health problems by our very own Scott Pohl, and he just couldn't believe it. And I read it. And I'm like, well, I know Tiger. I mean, we all know. His injuries have been well documented, but when you sit there and look at the specifics of how many injuries over the course of time that this man has had, I don't understand how he isn't in a wheelchair right now. You know, he talked, you know, not too long ago, like a few years ago, about how he couldn't even ride in a golf cart because, you know, the bumps in the heels, just the pain was too much on his back. He just couldn't be out there riding around in a golf cart, let alone being out there hitting, striking balls. You know, and he detailed a moment where he's sitting at home and he can't walk. He can barely walk, and he's sitting on the couch, and he can't even get off the couch to play with his kids because he's that much in pain. I don't know who Tiger Woods' doctor is. Especially, you know, I think that when you look at the spinal fusion surgery that Tiger Woods got, that was the surgery that began to put Tiger Woods back together. He was Humpty Humpty, Humpty Dumpty, right? He fell off the wall, had a great fall, and then that doctor came in and gave him spinal fusion surgery, and all was well. I that all props to that doc. Because when he had that surgery, and many people, you know, still, I was just reading up on it, many people who have spinal fusion surgery, it isn't a sure shot that you're going to be all well, you know, that your back is going to be fine. But this doc did a great job, obviously. And that's when Tiger began to slowly but surely get out on the course and practice and feel comfortable. He listened to his body. He realized what he can do, what he can't do. And slowly but surely, his game began to steadily improve. And now he's at the mountaintop. And to answer the question why we care so much about Tiger Woods, because it's so amazing. I mean, just looking at Twitter yesterday, Tiger became the number one trending topic on Twitter immediately. When everybody saw in that back nine that, oh my gosh, Tiger Woods has a chance, a real chance to win this thing. He became the number one trending topic in the nation. And as soon as he won, when he put that final putt in, you saw so many people and so many sports stars who understand what it's like struggling in a respective sport and trying to figure things out and climb back to that Mount Rushmore, if you will. Serena Williams, who, if you remember Serena Williams, my goodness, she almost literally died, almost passed away due to the birth of her daughter not too long ago. I don't know if you guys have seen the HBO documentary on Serena. Check it out. Riveting stuff. Serena tweets Tiger, quote, I am literally in tears watching Tiger Woods. This is greatness like no other. Knowing all you have been through physically to come back and do what you just did today. Wow. Congrats a million times. I am so inspired. Thank you, buddy. Tom Brady. Congrats, Tiger. What a performance. Kobe Bryant. Tiger with the praising hands emojis three times. Jack Nicklaus. The great Jack. That's who he's chasing when it comes to majors, right? Quote, a big well done from me to Tiger Woods. I am so happy for him and for the game of golf. This is just fantastic. J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans. Quote, nobody holds the entire viewing audience of their sport in the palm of their hand the way Tiger Woods does. It's truly incredible. More on Watt's tweet in just a moment. The great, woo, Ric Flair, baby, from the world of wrestling. He's on the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers of all time, right? Quote, congrats to the greatest golfer that ever lived, Tiger Woods, on his 15th major title. The PGA is styling and profiling now. Much respect to the man. Woo! He actually typed that. Woo! I love that. And last but certainly not least, our former president, Barack Obama. Quote, congratulations, Tiger, to come back and win the Masters after all the highs and lows is a testament to excellence, grit, and determination. I mean, I could go on and on and on when it comes to the reaction on Twitter from watching Tiger Woods. The ratings have come out. I don't think they've come out on when it comes to ratings just based on the final day on Sunday. But when you look at the tournament as a whole, it's the highest rated tournament viewing wise on television for the Masters, the highest rated Masters tournament in 4 years. That's Tiger Woods. That's all Tiger Woods. As J.J. Watt just stated, nobody moves the needle like this in sports. Nobody. In the world, I believe, that there aren't too many athletes since I've been walking this earth that command the attention that Tiger Woods does when he is playing in a golf tournament and competing in that red polo on a Sunday. The world stops. The only other athlete during my time on Earth that you can bring up is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. That's it. Michael and Tiger. And I even think it's more fascinating for me, Connor, when it comes to Tiger, even more so than Michael. And you guys know I'm a diehard MJ fan. Greatest basketball player to ever play. One of the greatest athletes of all time. But I would argue that when comparing the both Tiger and Michael's impact, that Tiger's is even more impressive because he plays a sport that it isn't a hallmark sport here in America. It really isn't. Tiger Woods, I believe, makes it that when he's out there on the course. But if you look at the ratings compared to a regular tournament without Tiger Woods, and you compare that to a tournament with Tiger Woods, the differential is amazing. Michael moved the needle, don't get me wrong. I mean, people flock to their televisions. Again, there's only two athletes I've seen that can do this. People flock to their televisions. May not be big NBA fans. They will flock to their televisions to watch Michael Jordan. But the NBA has had a slew of stars that are very riveting, that also draw a lot of eyeballs. Not more than Mike. There's levels to this thing, right? But it's not like the NBA, prior to Mike, starved for superstars. You had Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, right? I mean, they ushered in NBA fandom of the 80s and somewhat into the 90s as well. And Michael just took it to a whole nother level, like made the game international, right? I mean, Bill Russell and Wilt still could bring up those guys. The NBA has had its compelling stars over time. Not quite like Michael, because Michael is pretty special. But the thing about Tiger is you didn't see any, you haven't seen nobody move the needle television-wise, like this man. You just haven't. Playing golf? The game of golf? I mean, come on. It's golf. And the reason why I keep repeating that is because golf is a sport that is a niche sport. And what Tiger did, you know, him looking different because he's an African-American. He's half African-American, half Asian. He's an African-American who doesn't look like your normal golfer. You don't see too many brothers out there on the links, period. So when you see a brother out there playing, let alone dominating, that's intriguing in itself. And doing it with so much swag. Doing it, you know, with the stretch that we saw in the late 90s, early 2000s from Tiger Woods, nothing will top that kind of dominance in the world of golf and arguably in sports. I mean, he was beating the field. This is an individual sport, one of the toughest sports to play in golf, and Tiger was beating the field by double digits on the regular. We've seen nothing like this. And final point, why we're so captivated is not just because Tiger looks different and not because of we're in awe of the dominance of the past, and now we're starting to see some of that come back, a little bit of that magic come back today. But this is one of the biggest things. I noted this on my Instagram feed yesterday. We love a comeback story because we can relate. We are all humans. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets. We're humans. We all have flaws. So when we see one of the greatest athletes of all time go through a human experience where it isn't the norm, right? When we have a mistake, we're not on the front page of the New York Times and USA Today for it. Tiger Woods had some demons that he had to battle with. And those demons and that battle played out in the public. And with that being said, because we're humans and we all have flaws, we can relate to having mistakes in life. And to see a man like Tiger have those mistakes, but this is the turning point, but turn his life around, pull himself up, fail, and then fail some more, even when trying to come back, because doing his comeback, it has not been easy. He earned that green jacket on Sunday, didn't he? But, you know, fail, and then slowly but surely get back to that peak. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. It's one of the reasons why we fell in love with the beloved movie series of Rocky, right? That's what Rocky is all about. That's what Sly Stallone wrote and pinned on that paper. An underdog comes, you know, comes from the slums, has had some troubles, battled with some demons, and then rises to the top of the boxing world. That's why we fall in love. Well, we fall in love with, you know, when it comes to our idols here in America, we fall in love with these people sometimes because we can relate to them. We can see a bit of ourselves in them. So when you look at Tiger, I'm sure for those that did get emotional, when you saw him walk off the green and hug his children, his son and daughter, hug his mom, and to see the chance of Tiger. When we watch that scene, the reason why so many got emotional is because we can see a bit of ourselves in Tiger Woods. And that's what makes it oh so special. It's in our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. I'll give you a few of my takeaways from the Michigan State football spring game. If you want to weigh in these final 9 minutes, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below that. Go to Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll be right back. Shout out to the man behind the glass, Connor. You're right on point. You know, I bring up Rocky, and you have the Rocky music on cue, my man. And I gave that analogy for my stepdad as well. My stepdad is also one of the biggest Tiger Woods fans you'll ever meet. He weighed in on social media, you know, in awe of what, you know, because we were chatting back and forth on Instagram, and you know, he of course was also in awe of what Tiger was able to do, and he comments and says, "Right on, Al. Major injuries at that." And yeah, that's what's amazing. You know, when you look at the injury report in Tiger's history, to be able to win another green jacket after all of that, this is what makes it. There's no debating this. This is the greatest comeback story in the history of sports. There's going to be a movie made about this. There's going to be ESPN. I can already hear an ESPN 30 for 30 coming. And oh, by the way, my stepdad also, I haven't seen this yet. Something called The Roar. You ever heard of this that ESPN put together? The Roar is Back, I think is the name of it. Roar of the Tiger or something like that. Return of the Roar. Tiger Woods, Return of the Roar. ESPN did kind of like a 30 for 30 documentary on Tiger Woods' comeback last year. Well, they may need to add a part two to that now, right? Awesome stuff. Getting your reaction from Tiger Woods, 517-355-WKAR. Before I put a bow on this thing and bring up the spring game here, Connor, what is you're not a big golf guy, right? But I know you were probably locked in, and you saw what Tiger did yesterday.
Yeah, I was watching it. I even turned it on. I don't watch golf unless Tiger Woods is on. And he's contending,
right?
So, because my grandparents growing up, they always put it on the TV, and so after he won, I ended up calling my grandma, who's a big Tiger Woods fan, and talked to her about it. So
what'd she say?
Oh, she was happy. She was happy. She said she got up early to sit down and watch the whole thing. She said she had been watching it since, like, I guess 10:30. She had it on. She said she hadn't done anything all day except sit on the couch and watch Tiger.
That's awesome. See, no other athlete has that effect. No, my grandmother also watched it. I called her in the morning and said, "Hey, yeah, just check on her," and I let her know that Tiger was playing, and she said, "What channel, baby? What channel was that? Is that the 3BS?" I said, "No, Grandma, CBS. The 3B SUTVBS. What'd you say?" She couldn't even hear me when I tried to say CBS, and she finally gets the channel, and she watches it, and she called me after just saying, "Wow, that was amazing." So. Tiger Woods, really a really special moment. Again, it's one of those moments you won't forget where you were. You won't forget who you were with, what you were doing. Well, we know what you were doing. You were watching Tiger Woods. But it's one of those moments that will be replayed countless times. And what I also think is also cool, this is big for the game of golf, because there are many kids out there that didn't get a chance to experience the dominance of Tiger Woods in the late 90s, early 2000s. There are kids out there who are probably, like, you know, 11 to 15, who, you know, didn't live through that Tiger dominance, who's now seeing him do what he did at the Masters and maybe are inspired to pick up a golf club. He may be inspiring yet another generation to get out there, pick up the golf clubs, and play 18, which is pretty awesome. Okay, the spring game, and we'll elaborate more on this, obviously, on tomorrow's Current Sports. Real quick, though, getting some comments on our Facebook page here. This comes from Ben. Ben is saying that Tiger got a picture with Shooter McGavin after the tournament. That picture was posted after the tournament by CBS. I did see that. Shooter McGavin from the movie Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler, a classic. And also I'm seeing here from Mark. Mark weighs in on the jerseys and says, "Hey, Al, those new jersey colors are way too modern for this old fuddy-duddy. I'm still missing..." quote, gruff Sparty. I hear you, Mark. And this is the thing. You hear this from a lot of old school guys. Change is inevitable. You know, it's 2019 now, and style changes. No longer are we rocking, you know, the big afros and the suits that are like three times too big. Times change. Style changes. And the game of football, when it comes to recruiting especially, you're trying to attract, you know, these young kids to your program. You know, what's hot and new? That's what it's all about now. You know, this is also a recruiting ploy as well. I just think that, you know, I think the majority of Spartan fans out there are just not digging these jerseys, and I just don't understand it, Connor.
Here's the thing. The old jerseys are still there. You're not going to see this more than once or twice a year. People need to relax. My goodness.
I'm with you.
And then, like we said at the beginning of the show, I don't get what people want. Like, people gushing over these all-black uniforms somewhere else or these all-white uniforms. Like, congrats, you discovered the two most basic colors on the color wheel. Clap it up. Everyone's got white in their away jersey. Ooh-wee, that was a... Man, that's really, really walking a tightrope there. My goodness. People need to lighten up.
I'm with you. You're preaching to the choir over here, at least, Connor. But hey, man, everybody has an opinion. So, okay. The big takeaway for me, and I'll elaborate more on this as we come up with just less than 2 minutes left here in the hour. The big takeaway for me was Brian Lewerke. You know, I feel like Brian Lewerke, quarterback of Michigan State, he is trending toward a return to form right now. And, you know, 14 for 20, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's pretty solid. Pretty solid. And the one INT that he threw, just a great play by Josiah Scott. But I think there's some potential there. I'm not going to be that guy to sit here and say, oh, but did you see what Brian did? Yeah, he's poised for a great 2019 MSU football season. Not going to be that guy to overreact. It's a spring game. It's a spring game. I was just happy to see Brian Lewerke out there throwing the ball with some zip, throwing the ball with some accuracy, looking comfortable in the pocket. But again, we still don't know how good this team will be next season. All right. If anything, the defense will probably be stout again, returning a lot of players, returning a lot. But I'm not going to make these hard conclusions on this team right now. I'll have a few more takeaways, though, that are going to be insightful on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports. Okay, you don't want to miss it. Until then, have a great Monday. I can't believe we got snow last night. I guess that was in honor of Game of Thrones. Winter is coming, right? It's 50 degrees, though, the day, and the snow is melting mid-Michigan. Hopefully we get some real spring weather throughout the week, all right? Until Tuesday, be easy, people.